Our Voice. Proudly supported and funded by Northumbria Police and Crime Commissioner.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Our Voice, an opportunity for young LGBTQIA plus people to have their say. Each episode I'll be joined by a panel of young people from here in the Northeast to talk about their thoughts. And I'm delighted to be joined by this panel today to discuss a topic that I think is incredibly important to the LGBTQ plus community, and that is representation. And I'll be posing our big question to the panel very, very soon, but it's only right that we actually get to know who these people are. So we'll go around the table, introduce yourself, tell us how old you are and what your pronouns are, please.
Hello, I'm Phoenix. I'm 16 and I go by he, they.
Hello, I'm Arizona. I go by she, their pronouns, and I'm 16.
Hiya, I'm Amber. I'm 14 years old and I go by she, they.
Marvellous. Thank you very much, everybody. So we hear the word representation quite a lot when we discuss LGBTQIA plus topics, because it's really important that we see ourselves represented, whether that's in the media, whether it's online, whether it's just in everyday society. So with more and more LGBTQIA plus and non-binary people appearing in things like soaps, films, adverts, and in the world of music as well, how important is representation to you, our panel? We'll start with Phoenix.
With representation, I feel like everyone should be seen and heard for what they are, which includes the LGBTQ plus community. And well, while it's a really broad community, it's really important that we really get to understand everyone and their struggles in everyday life.
Thank you very much. Arizona.
I feel like representation is extremely important. I feel like some people should be seen and heard if they aren't already in the media.
Marvellous, thank you.
I feel like if we didn't have representation, the world would be very, like, in the sense, black and white. Like, because it's almost like throughout history, there's always been representation for one thing or another. And it's always a way to spread a message. So I feel like if we didn't have that representation, it would be a very black and white world.
And when we talk about representation, we talk about more and more LGBTQIA plus people appearing in films and TV and what have you. It definitely seems to have been increasing. But do you think there is a bit of a danger that it'll start to become a bit tokenistic? So you'll just kind of see really stereotypical representations of a gay person, for example, or a trans person in the media, rather than demonstrating the whole spectrum of different identities and sexualities and different ways in which people might identify as part of the LGBTQ plus community?
I mean, yeah, I do think that as it goes on, it's going to be very stereotypical, because I feel like producers and writers are quite lazy with the way that they use representation. But, like, at the same time, these people aren't really LGBTQ plus IA like themselves, so they aren't going to understand what's stereotypical and what's not. And I feel like there's a miscommunication between the community and the producers, and there should be like more conversation about it instead of just being so myopic towards it, like the topic.
And Amber, what would you say to, you know, someone that wasn't part of the LGBTQ plus community? They're making a film right now. They want to have someone from the community in their film. What would be the bit of advice that you would give to ensure that that representation was the best it could be?
I feel like talk to lots of people, interact with people who you want to be represented in your film or TV show. Like, because you can't just throw someone in there without understanding probably what a person like this is like. So maybe like go talk to other people, learn from others, or just like have interactions, because then you can learn more like differently about how people are.
And, you know, sadly, we can't all be film and TV stars, unfortunately, as much as I would very much like to be. So how important is it that you see representation in everyday life as well? So say, for example, there is a particular job that you would like to go for, Phoenix, and you see someone doing that job that shares a similar identity to you or is part of the LGBTQ plus community. How important would it be to see someone doing that job to know that I could also be there, comfortable being myself doing that job?
So I feel especially with one of the sectors I'm trying to work in, being travel, tourism, things like that, it's very seen as a feminine or gay kind of sector to work in. So I've always been kind of seen through a stereotype saying I want to go into kind of working in travel. So it's really nice to know that in the world there's always going to be people who aren't going to meet those stereotypes of being so feminine and flamboyant, and that's someone I can just kind of relate to.
And do you feel that, you know, if a particular job or something in society is seen as being more gay or more LGBTQ plus because it's more of an effeminate job or something like that, do you feel there's then a kind of pressure for you to conform with that representation, to be like, oh, well, that's, I'm going to have to do that job because that's what LGBTQIA plus people tend to do?
Well, I feel like some people do conform within those jobs, but at the same time, as society is progressing and these jobs are, like, becoming more gender-friendly, where you've got, like, more men being nurses than some women, and then you've got women engineers, which that's, like, grown rapidly. Like, I feel like there's more accepting people within these jobs, so these stereotypes are going to die down as the year goes on.
And do you feel like if, you know, you see someone doing, you know, living their authentic self in society, how does that make you feel when you see them happy and thriving?
Like, all good and stuff, because you know that that person's enjoying their life to, like, the fullest and isn't being, like, pressured to do what people think they need to do.
Yeah, they're not in a box.
Aye.
And do you feel like it's important that you see a wide range of representation then, so people that aren't just kind of labelling themselves as this one thing? Is it better that you see a much wider range of different identities, genders, sexualities represented?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so if you were to see someone that was happy and thriving and, you know, being the best that they can possibly be, what does that say to you as a young person, kind of maybe, you know, a bit earlier in your journey, exploring your gender identity a bit more, deciding what your pronouns are, all of that sort of stuff? What would that have meant for you when you were kind of starting on that journey to see someone feeling great about themselves and thriving as themselves?
It would probably make me quite optimistic to be out in the world when I'm around that age. Like, not everything is doom and gloom, and that people can live life to their fullest if they surround themselves with the people that want to let them do that.
And do you feel, you know, we've talked about safety and we've talked about people not necessarily understanding LGBTQIA plus identities and sexualities that aren't familiar to them. So how important is it that we have representation for those people that maybe are a little bit less educated in this area to kind of see that this is all perfectly fine and all perfectly normal and they don't need to panic and they don't need to worry?
Well, really important, because if people are, like, not educated with, like, how people feel and what, like, life is for them, then they're going to create all these false assumptions, and then it's just not going to be nice for people who have to live through that.
And do you feel like the more people are educated, the more that they see, the better society is going to be, because they're going to start forming more positive opinions because they're seeing people thriving and having, you know, living their life to the fullest?
Yeah, definitely.
Marvellous. So who would you say are your biggest inspirations? We'll start with Phoenix first.
Well, I have to think about this one because there's been so many people in the world who've done so much.
Was there anyone in particular that you were like, I see myself represented in that person and that's why they're an inspiration, because they're like me and I can see that I could be that person one day? I can come back to you if you want. Would you like a little bit?
Pass and come back.
Yeah, no problems. Anyone got one that they've got in mind? Yeah, Arizona.
Probably Anna Kendrick, to be fair, because...
Didn't she voice Poppy in Trolls?
Yeah.
I know that one.
But she, like, I don't think she has a label, not that I'm aware of, but she's happy to be herself and she's quirky, and oftentimes when she's in interviews and, like, I think there was this one man that said that she was on his girlfriend's list to, like, you know, be with her, like, go on a date with or something. She was like, yeah, like, she doesn't really see well, no, because, like, she's not a man. She doesn't really care. She just goes with the flow, and she likes how she likes. She doesn't really put a label on it.
Fantastic. So it's all about kind of, yeah, throwing caution to the wind a little bit and just be like, I'm going to live my life because that's how I want to live it.
Yeah, she's very optimistic and open-minded, and that's something I think all people should inspire to be.
And does that inspire you to live your life more openly and to live your life with an open mind?
Yeah, definitely.
Fantastic. And Amber?
Well, I feel like definitely one of them is like my mum, because like she just like lets me know that like it doesn't matter how hard things are, you can always do it, because like she's a single mum, like working just one job with two kids in this cost of living crisis, and she still pushes through, and it just makes us feel like, you know, no matter how hard life gets, you can still do it. And another one, like, judge me if you will, but Melanie Martinez, because especially from a young age, like one of her songs, Cry Baby, it literally talks about, you know, being emotional and like people thinking that you're too sensitive and stuff. And like that's how I've been all my life. Like I used to get bullied from a very young age for being overly sensitive, which I still am, and it just made me feel a little more normal, like to know that it's okay to be sensitive and to have emotions, because that's just part of being human, to have emotions, and it's okay to be slightly weird in the sense and to feel all these things, because if we didn't, we wouldn't be human.
Exactly. Up the weirdness. We need more weirdness in society. Phoenix, have you been able to think of one?
I'm going to have to follow up with Melanie Martinez, because of she's been able to normalise so many issues that not just I face, but many people have faced, especially in their youth.
And it's interesting that we've picked some kind of famous people here, you know, famous names that, that lots of people will know. As a celebrity, you know, they live a very different life to us mere mortals, you know, like kind of walking around here in the Northeast. So do you think that there's a bit of kind of like aspiration there? You know, it's like, yes, they may not live the same life as me. However, they are there to show that you can kind of achieve your dreams and you can do anything. Do you think representation is also part of that, is kind of aspirations to be that person and to be a better version of yourself as a result?
Yeah, definitely. Especially when you can see like components of your life in theirs. Like it won't be the same life, of course, but there's definitely bits and pieces that may be the same or very similar.
And is it important that that person has like authentic experiences to draw from as well? So they're not, again, we go back to that tokenistic argument, that they're not just kind of saying this because they think that's what their fans want to hear. It's because they've actually experienced it themselves. How important is it that your idols, the people you look up to, have had that lived experience?
It makes it more like, as you said, authentic, because if it was just them saying it for like, in the sense of the crack, it would make it feel like just less believable. But if it was something that they went through and had to live through, and they're telling you, you know, you can't do it, then it makes, like, it's that slight reassurance that, you know, it might seem bad now, but like in the future you will be able to do it.
Anyone else got anything to say on that one?
You basically don't feel mocked by them. Like, if they're authentic and they've been through that experience, you're less likely to feel patronised and like belittled as they're using that experience to gain some sort of publicity.
Interesting. So let's think about kind of people that might be opposed to more representation in society. You know, maybe you hear a lot of stories, particularly in newspapers like the Daily Mail, for example, that the, you know, people kicking off that children's books have got two princes rather than a prince and a princess, and that's terrible. You should let children be children and all of this sort of stuff. What do you think is most important about having representation at an early stage? So young people, even children, knowing that LGBTQIA plus lifestyles are perfectly normal. How important is it that we have that at a young age?
I think it's quite important, to be fair, because when young people grow up, like especially in the generation that we're in, we didn't grow up with all of this. So internal homophobia is still being like presented through them, whether they mean it or not, because that's what they've been like brought up with. But the young people today, like the younger generation, if they have this representation now, they're less likely to have this homophobia built within them, because they know these things and they're more likely to grow up open-minded and more used to the world around them, instead of being shown, well, this is right, this is the only thing that goes on in the world, when it's not.
And that's where a lot of kind of prejudices come from, isn't it? It's where a lot of fear comes from, because it's the fear of the unknown, because people haven't been exposed to it. So do you think that when people argue that, you know, you shouldn't have young children learning about LGBTQ plus people, do you think that it's important that that happens at a much earlier stage than what some people are suggesting, saying, you know, you shouldn't be taught about it until you're 10, 11 years old? Do you think it should just be a case of, we talk about all kinds of people and all kinds of relationships from a very early age?
Well, yeah, because, like, especially in this day and age, you say, like, people, they feel more free to express themselves than they did, like, what, 10, 20 years ago? Because back then, you could be, like, persecuted with no consequences, but now we've got the Equality Act, so people have that, like, well, in the sense, slight reassurance that if something does happen to them, then there'll be justice for it, so people feel more accepted to express themselves. So obviously, naturally, you know what kids are like, they'd ask questions, so it's good to explain to them in a sense, a child-friendly way. Oh, you know, there's some people who identify as this, there's some people who identify as that, there's some people who like this, like that. So therefore, they don't grow up confused, in the sense.
And they can grow up making their own decisions, yeah, and come to their own conclusions rather than having it kind of forced upon them, I suppose.
Because if you tell a child, like, this is right, this is wrong, like, this is how it's supposed to be, this is how it's not supposed to be, it's almost like brainwashing them and then, like, making them think, like this is right, this is wrong, when no, it's not. Like, that's just not how the world works.
And
like, I'm always saying there should be, it should be a very grey area instead of just being black and white. Like,
aye,
it should be very much optional for these younger people to think and feel exactly what they want.
Brilliant. So they can come to their own conclusions, they can be their own person. So you folks are all part of a group where you can all talk and share your own experiences, and you can meet up and kind of form friendships and bonds and that sort of thing. But do you think it's important that you guys act as role models for the next generation of LGBTQIA plus young people, so that they see you walking down the street and you're dressing the way you want to dress, you're acting the way you want to act, you're with your partner or your friends who are also part of the LGBTQIA plus community? Do you feel like it's important that you guys act as kind of ambassadors for the next generation? Do you feel any pressure to do that?
I don't really think there's much pressure to it, but I think it's a very good ideology that we are role models for them, because we show that it's not just what you see on TV or what's presented in the media. Like, we are our own people, and like you said earlier, it's a spectrum. So if these younger people are saying us around the street being who we are, they're more likely to form their own opinions and be like, that's cool, that's not cool, like... But there's no pressure on it. It's just, we're just living our life, and if they choose to pick us as role models, that's great.
And how confident would each of you be being that role model and you know, walking down the street as your true, authentic self and being that representation for somebody else? How confident would you be, Phoenix, in doing that?
Well, I feel like saying that we're role models very much makes it sound a lot more than what it actually is, but it's actually a really good thing, I'd say, because even if what we're doing is just being us, is inspiring people, then it says a lot about the power that we have that we just haven't realized and that we can actually use to really help not only ourselves and others, but the entire world in general.
And that's a really powerful message, isn't it? Is that you can just make those small little changes. You could be that small bit of representation for someone, but that could have like a huge impact on their life, couldn't it? And, you know, would you feel much better knowing that you had that small impact, well, that big impact on someone just for being you?
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's a really positive moment to end on, that is that, you know, it doesn't matter who you are or how, you know, outwardly you show your true identity, you can always have a big impact on somebody else that maybe is going through a tougher period of their life where they're trying to figure out who they are and who they would like to be. And that's why representation is so important at the highest levels, like Anna Kendrick, or at the, you know, very baseline, seeing someone else on the street living their life the way they want to live it. Thank you very much, everybody. That brings to a close another episode. It's been wonderful to hear your thoughts and opinions. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Our Voice, proudly supported and funded by Northumbria Police and Crime Commissioner.